I'm Mike Fraser, and this is WYSO Today for Wednesday, August 12th. Waves of severe weather once again battered the area Tuesday with damaging winds and heavy rain. A tornado warning was issued for portions of Clark and Champaign counties around 9:30 for radar-indicated rotation. Strong winds brought down numerous trees in the Urbana area. The Champaign County Sheriff posted on social media that they closed the Champaign County Fair due to damage from the storms. Damage was also seen in Dark County as a home on Beam Road just east of Ansonia had severe roof damage. AES Ohio posted on social media that over 12,000 customers were without power Tuesday morning due to the high winds. The storms then moved into central Ohio, where a wind gust of 82 miles per hour was recorded at the John Glenn International Airport, which is just northeast of Columbus. Strong winds flipped over a car as it was driving on I-71 near Columbus. The second wave of storms came through during the early afternoon hours on Tuesday. A storm capable of producing a tornado moved through portions of Butler and Hamilton counties. Wind gusts of over 50 miles per hour were observed at the Butler County Regional Airport, while a wind gust of 68 miles per hour was recorded near Cincinnati. Heavy rains fell as the storms moved through. Scattered flooding was reported, as the National Weather Service says over 2 inches of rain fell in the Dayton area on Tuesday. AES Ohio reported over 12,000 outages at 5 p.m. on Tuesday. Power was restored to most by midnight, except for about 1,500 in the Urbana area. In other news, the Paul Lawrence Dunbar House historic site recently completed $700,000 in restorations. WYSO's Nick Herkman has more on the preservation effort and how you can see them.
90 years ago, Paul Lawrence Dunbar's home became the first state-owned house museum dedicated to an African-American, and it's needed a lot of love to keep it in good shape. Dunbar's mother, Matilda, bought the home in 1904. After his death, she maintained Paul's library and study in their 1906 conditions and showed it to visitors. The Ohio State Archaeological and Historical Society acquired the house after her death and opened it as a museum in 1938. Laverne Tsai, an expert on his life and work, is credited with saving the house when it had fallen into disrepair in 1989. It became part of the Dayton Aviation Heritage National Historical Park in 1992. Current owner, the Ohio History Connection, and the National Aviation Heritage Area partnered to receive $350,000 in federal funding from the Save America's Treasures program, plus a matching amount from the state of Ohio's capital budget. Mackenzie Whitmer, executive director of the Heritage Area, says visitors might not appreciate at first the amount of work that went into the latest restoration.
So you might walk by this project and be like, wow, that didn't change at all. That's the goal. In historic preservation, we want to restore the property to its authentic state. So what you didn't see is that the contractors led by Ohio History Connection came in and ground out the mortar between all of these bricks to put in the appropriate mortar so these bricks will last another 100 years.
Whitmer encouraged people to visit the renovated facility because of its powerful connection to its former residents. For WYSO News, I'm Nick Herkman.
The state of Ohio has reached a settlement with the contractor that built the Interpretive Center at Great Council State Park. That's after concerns of poor construction quality. The state was paid $2 million as part of the settlement. That's according to a request from the Ohio Controlling Board last month. The Ohio Department of Natural Resources, which runs Great Council, wants to use the settlement money for some repairs, and that includes to the HVAC system, as well as plumbing and electrical systems. Great Council is Ohio's newest state park. It was built in consultation with the three federally recognized Shawnee nations. The Shawnee Interpretive Center is also a hallmark of the installation that opened in 2024. It features a gallery, theater space, gift shop, and a living stream populated with native aquatic species. Abortion advocates are concerned that flock cameras are being improperly used by other states to track women who enter Ohio to get abortions. Those cameras are installed on public streets to track cars, license plates, and provide other surveillance. State House correspondent Joe Ingles reports.
Abortion Forward's Jamie Miracle says a Texas official recently used flock cameras in Columbus to track a woman who was seeking an abortion.
The concern is that a person leaving a state where abortion is illegal and coming to Columbus to get the abortion care they deserve should not be followed into our city by this dragnet surveillance system we have.
Columbus is reconsidering how flock cameras can be used and has pulled out of the national sharing network for the camera service. Police agencies say the cameras are valuable crime-fighting tools when used properly. Joe Ingles at the Ohio Public Radio Statehouse News Bureau.
More wet weather expected today with the possibility of flooding as a flood watch has been extended through this afternoon, Wednesday, August the 12th. We're also looking at thunderstorms as a possibility, and some of the storms could be on the gusty side. Looks like rain chances will be with us for most of this week. And that's WYSO today for Wednesday, August 12th. I'm Mike Fraser.
Hey, it's Peter Sagal. Maybe you've never seen Wait Wait live and in person, but you've thought to yourself, well, what's the big deal? I can just listen on the radio. Well, yeah, but you never get to hear everything that happens.
That can be edited right out. Don't you worry about that.
So come join us September 3rd at the Rose Music Center.
Don't worry, it's not going to make broadcast.
That's Wait Wait live, September 3rd at the Rose Music Center. For tickets, go to nprpresents.org, but only if you're ready for it.
That's why you have to come to a live
show. That's right, yeah.